This week was a tough week for the United States of America. The shooting death of 58 of our fellow citizens, nearly 500 more injured. I don't know about you, but the turmoil in our world and society and our culture has left me feeling a little bit distressed lately. Very concerned about the kind of nation my children and grandchildren are inheriting. Instability all around us. In our country, we've become a nation without morals and without an ethical compass. And this threatens the innocence of our young. We have become a divided nation, a place where values and truth and good character hold little sway in the public arena. We've come and become a nation that has lost its way in terms of right and wrong. For the past two, three decades, we've been witnessing an increasing movement where good is called evil and evil is called good. This week after the Las Vegas shooting, I found myself on more than one occasion just wishing I could grab up my family to escape to a place where it would be okay to worship God. A place where there would be a safe harbor from wicked people intent on doing harm to others. A place to just hunker down and park until the return of the Lord Jesus. As I drove to and fro from Idaho Falls this week, I had a lot of time to think and pray about our country and our family. During this time, I thought a lot about what should my response be to all this mayhem and havoc and disorder and evil and chaos in our country? What should my response be as a husband? As a dad, as a granddad, as a pastor, as a community member? How do I protect everybody from the works of evil? All the stuff I see happening around me just seems to be overwhelming and out of control. I can't do anything about it. And as I drove back from Idaho Falls, I put a Bible reading tape in my CD, and the particular CD I happened to grab contained a reading from the book of Esther. Esther, you may remember, was called by God to take a stand to serve God at the very risk of her own life. She was the king of Ahasuerus, who reigned over 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. Esther had come into her position through a series of God-ordained circumstances. History shows there came a point in Esther's role as queen that she had to make a decision to stand up at the risk of the slaughter of the Jewish people. And it would mean risking her own life to take that stand. In her deliberation on what she should do in the face of this crisis, Mordecai, the uncle who raised Esther after the death of her parents, came to Esther and cited these words to her in Esther 4:14. "And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this?" In this statement, Mordecai reminded Esther, God did not forget his people, and that God had a plan for her life, and that God had a plan for his people, and that she was part of that plan. As I thought about the statement that Mordecai made to Esther, I found comfort in the fact that God is not caught by surprise by any of these events that we see around us today. I found comfort in the fact that the God who did not forget the nation of Israel will not forget his people who have been bought by the blood of the Lamb in the 21st century. I found comfort in the fact that as God has not forgotten his people, God also has a plan for the 21st century. And the reason that we live and breathe in the 21st century is that he has designed for us to be part of that plan. and He has a reason for our purpose. Not only are we not forgotten by God, God has not forgotten our children and our grandchildren either. And God has a plan for their lives as well as ours. And they too are part of everything that God is doing. Church, as it was in the day of Esther, the faithfulness of God to His people is not determined by the turning tides of the world or the individual decisions of political leaders. The sovereignty of God is not displaced by the wicked works of mankind. The rebellion of mankind does not overrule the omnipotence of God. We should trust in Him. The Spirit of God, as I continued my drive home, bore witness with my spirit, remind me that as much as I want to protect my children and grandchildren from evil in this world, that such will not be accomplished by gathering them up in my arms and hunkering down in some forlorn place. Here is my take on God and His sovereignty. God already knows with omniscient understanding the kind of world in which my children and grandchildren will live. Just as He knew what kind of world that Esther would live in her day and age. God, not surprised by the conditions of this world and direction of going, God has chosen this day for my children and my grandchildren to be alive. Therefore, I have to believe that God will work in their lives and the lives of my children and my grandchildren to be ready, to be prepared, to be used for His honor and glory in such a time as this. More than ever, this world needs the truth. We are investing in our children and our grandchildren. By the same mercy and grace that God used to save our soul, it is the same mercy and grace God will use in helping our children and grandchildren to face the dangers of this world. God will teach our children about truth through us, and God will provide them the resources to live righteously and victoriously in the spirit, even in the face of the direction that our culture goes. As God's people, we don't hunker down, but we stand up for such a time as this. Me, you, my children, and my grandchildren, we have been created for such a time as this. God hasn't forgotten us in the miseries of this world, and He will not forsake us or our children or our grandchildren. God has created us for this generation. So my questions are these. When did the world become bigger than God? When did the devil become more powerful than our God? When have the works of man ever overthrown the will of God? Therefore, our role is not to hunker down, but to stand up in such a time as this. We are to be the visible light of God, not hidden under a bushel. We are to be the light in the darkened sea of human depravity. We are the children of the King, and we have been created for such a time as this. Read Psalms 91, verses 1 and 2 with me. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Read with me Isaiah 26:4. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. Read with me 1 Chronicles 16:25. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. And read with me Hebrews 6:19-20. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both for sure and steadfast, one who enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as our forerunner, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Church, we are the children of this great King. And it is He who has parted the Red Sea and divided the Jordan River. It is He who has knocked down the walls of Jericho. It is He who fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. It is He who has made the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, and the dead to rise again. It is He who gave His life for us in order that we might live with and for Him. It is He who has created us for such a time like this, I believe. Church, we have read the end of the good book. We know who wins. So let's stand in strength, let's stand in courage, let's stand in hope, and let us stand and celebrate together.